With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Thanks for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. Follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
Happy Mother's Day, and we really want to take today to celebrate all women, moms, and the women in our life that make us better, and I know that's true for me, so happy Mother's Day to you all this morning. And in case I forget at the end, for all ladies, we have a plant for you, so make sure you get one. They're out on the patio. If you go out these doors to my right, your left, you'll see the patio out there. They're just grab one of those plants and take them with you. So that's just a gift we'd love for you to have today. And another little maybe housekeeping is on your chair is a little invite card. You're like, well, what is this for? I mean, this is a card to encourage you and to give you just a little conversation piece to invite someone to be with you. So it has all the information on there. You can hand it to a friend or family member, coworker, neighbor, barista, you know, person walking down the street. Who else? Male person. Anyone, and invite them to be with you. So just take that with you. You can grab a couple if you'd like, and just that's for you to use to just be thinking and praying about who you might invite to be with us here at Legacy. Have you ever asked the question, does anyone notice me? Does anyone notice me? And maybe you were in a crowded room and you felt like, well, nobody's really coming up to talk to me. Does anyone really notice me? Or maybe you can think back to the most intimidating time in your life, and that's middle school, and the most intimidating place in your life, the middle school cafeteria, where you walked into the cafeteria and that dread just came over you, where you weren't sure where you were going to sit for lunch. Does anyone notice me? Or maybe in your workplace, you've been just doing you've been going above and beyond. You have been giving 110%, which I always think that's a funny like expression. But you've been doing the best you can at your job, and you just feel like no one is even noticing the effort and the investment that you're making to be the best that you can be in your workplace. Feeling like no one notices, we can just pretty much that's pretty much equivalent to feeling like you don't matter. Nobody notices me. A 2018 survey of 20,000 Americans by Cigna found that 47% of respondents reported feeling forgotten. Global surveys of workers find that 43% of employees feel invisible. And a study of over 66,000 students, K through 12, found that over half did not feel valued at school. It sort of reminds me of the classic novel, The Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison, who compares feeling unnoticed to living in a hole, writing, I am invisible, understand, simply because people refuse to see me. We are in week three of this series, Where is God When? And over this last few weeks, we've been sort of really addressing the questions that we all ask at times in our life, and especially in challenging times. And we started off this series asking the question of where is God when it storms? And then last week we asked that question, where is God when he's silent? And if you remember last week, we said silence is not a sign that something's wrong with us or that we've done something wrong, but instead silence is actually an invitation to step further into our relationship with God, to draw closer to him. And if you've missed these last few weeks, I want to encourage you to go back and watch it on demand. You can catch any of the messages that you missed on our website. But today, we're asking the question of where is God when I feel like an outcast? Where is God when I feel like an outcast? Now, when I say that word, you might immediately think of like the picture of a nerdy person like Steve Urkel. Everybody remember Urkel? Yeah. Or you might think of this guy, Napoleon Dynamite. Okay. or you know, despite what you see today, there was a time when I looked really nerdy, and yeah, this was me 20 years ago. Yeah, freshman year of college. And, you know, all things circle back around, and I'm now driving that same truck again that you see in the picture. So, you know, some things just never change. But before you start feeling sorry for me, when I say the word outcast, that's not necessarily what I mean. An outcast is someone who feels rejected or cast out. It could be anyone that experienced rejection by their peers or family or colleagues, someone who feels like they don't matter. And so whenever you've had a situation in your life where you felt rejected, where you felt like you didn't matter, you might have felt like an outcast. See, the thing is, in the kingdom of God, every single person matters. They matter to God, and so they should matter to us. And so we're asking that question, where is God when I feel like an outcast? Now, in the book of Genesis, we find this interesting scenario where God promises Abraham that he and his wife Sarah would bear a son in their old age. Now, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. And when the angel comes and tells them that they're going to have a son, They literally laugh at God's suggestion. Well, I mean, a little bit of advice that you should never laugh when God comes and tells you something's going to happen. But they do, and the promise that God gives them is that they're going to bear a son. They're going to have this line of descendants that will reach beyond even their lifetime and the lifetimes of their ancestors. But Sarah, she took matters into her own hands. She said, well, you know, I'm not going to wait on God's timing and God's plan for this to happen. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And so she gives one of her servants, Hagar, to Abraham as his wife. You know, happy Mother's Day. This is a great text for Mother's Day, where we look at someone in the scripture who hands their servant over to become pregnant. So Hagar becomes pregnant. And then when she finds out that she's pregnant with a child, she begins to treat Sarah with sort of disrespect. And then Sarah goes to Abraham and says, you know, basically, hey, this is your fault, you know, little couple squabble. And then Abraham just sort of sends her back to Hagar and says, you go back to her and treat her as you wish. And so she goes back to Hagar and sends her away, treats her harshly. And so Hagar runs away. And what happens next is pretty cool. In fact, it's the only time in the scripture where this name appears. It says an angel appeared to her and assures her that she will be okay, as will her child. In fact, her child is going to have a future. But she needed to return to Sarah. And Hagar's reaction is this, Genesis 16:13. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." You are the God who sees me. This is the only instance in Scripture where this name for God appears. The Hebrew phrase, El Roi. Okay, I bet you didn't think that you were going to have a little Hebrew lesson today. But El Roi, the God who sees. That Hagar gives this name to God. There is something powerful when you see another person. Research suggests, and not just suggests, has discovered that when you make eye contact with another person, there's something that's activated in your, okay, get this, I'm going to go get real scientific here, your limbic nervous system. Okay, write that down. Limbic, you don't have to write it down. Limbic nervous system. Something in your brain is fired when you make eye contact with another person. And vice versa, something in their brain, in the limbic nervous system, is activated when they make eye contact with you. And not only that, when two people make eye contact, there is empathy. Empathy is created. Meaning that you can now feel what that person feels. Now I want you to think back. Maybe you're here with your spouse or your significant other, and think back to the first time that you made eye contact. You know, and I wish I would have told the band before this. I would have had maybe Kelly ask Kelly to play a little something, you know, little ditty on the keyboard there during this moment. But just sort of imagine with me back to that moment where you made eye contact with that person. And the feelings that came over you and the connection that happened and maybe the romance that was sparked. And you could say, yeah, I when I make eye contact with that person, there's empathy. There's a connection that happens. And so God promises Abraham and Sarah a child, and they don't want to wait on God. And isn't that typical of us? We might feel like God has made a promise to us, and we want to get ahead of God. And the scriptures are filled of instances where people, they want to get ahead of God. They say, well, God, we're not going to wait on you because you're too slow. We're going to do things our way. And that's what Sarah did. But God does promise. God does fulfill his promise. He gives Abraham and Sarah a child, Isaac. And it's a joyful time. And then Ishmael, which was the child that Abraham bore with Hagar, re-enters the picture, and he's now a teenager, and he and Isaac sort of have some squabbles, and Sarah is just kind of, she sort of flips out about this. So she sent Hagar and Ishmael away, and then in Genesis 21, we find another picture of them. It says, early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away. Hunters are like perked up now. What? Bow shot? Someone said hunting. For she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to sob. Verse 17, God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. See, there's things that I think we've got to understand about what it means to see that I want us to talk about this morning. The first thing is to see who God is. To see who God is. I believe that the first thing that we've got to grasp in our life is to see who God is, to understand who God is. And God is completely other than we are. God is holy, perfect, just, righteous, powerful. 1 Samuel 2 says, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. God is completely other. The otherness of God are the qualities and attributes that God possess in perfection and wholeness that we do not. God, completely holy, righteous, powerful, all-knowing, all-present. God is other. God is everywhere. God is not limited. He's not, you can't put him in a box or contain him or control him. That's who God is. You've got to see who God is. In the Old Testament, in fact, There was a period of time where you could not come into the presence of God. You could not look at the face of God. That's how powerful and holy God's presence is. In fact, people were just scared to death to be in the presence of God. That God is so powerful. They could not just look at Him. Seeing who God is. God is the creator, the sustainer, the ruler. Everything in this world happens within God's knowledge. Nothing surprises Him. Nothing surprises God. No act of injustice, no act of mercy. Nothing is outside of God's knowledge. That's the first thing I think we've got to grasp. Seeing who God is. Now, some of us, maybe if we have an experience, a religious experience in our lifetime where we were taught a picture of God that is not true. And so we saw and maybe still see God as someone who is like a school principal. You know, just waiting for us to trip up, waiting to call us into the office and hand down our punishment, right? Or maybe because of a family experience, we see God as just sort of this disappointed father, disappointed parent, where we just feel we are like running the treadmill, just constantly trying to attain our father's approval, and just we just don't feel like we can ever measure up to the standards that we feel like God has given us. Well, I'm just never gonna measure up. Maybe we've had something happen in our past, so we've done something, or something's been done to us where we feel like God is just sort of like, you know, He looks the other way, He's disappointed. Or maybe we feel like God has given us a set of lists or rules that we've got to follow to the T. And if we separate from that list of rules, like this is what you do and this is what you don't do, you break one of those rules, then you're out. Seeing who God is. So I wish I would have put this on the screen, but Luke 15 is a picture of God. It's a picture of God. It's a picture of a God who chases after us, runs after us. Lost son, lost coin, lost sheep. Look at that when you have a minute. Look at Luke chapter 15. That's a picture of God. Woman loses a coin. She turns over everything in the house to find it. God leaves the 99 sheep for the one. Prodigal son comes to his father, asks for all of his inheritance right then, right there. You know, I don't know. Maybe he wanted to like buy some land. Maybe get some cattle. Maybe, you know, make some investments, buy some stocks. He wanted his inheritance right then and there. Father gives it to him. He goes away. He squanders his wealth. He comes to his senses. He realizes, I've really messed up. And he comes back to his father. And in the text, it says, the father, upon seeing the son, runs toward him. That's who God is. See, God, who God is God knows everything about you, and He runs toward you. See, sometimes we think, well, if that person really knew the real me, if that person really found out all there is to know about me, if they knew this or that about me, they would run away. And God's like, no, I do know this or that about you, and I'm running toward you. See, I think that's so key. I think if we do not grasp that God is a merciful, loving, holy, holy, just God who runs toward us. That's who God is. The second thing I think we need to see is we need to see ourselves as God sees us. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. 1 John 3 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." See, God's love is not conditional on our performance, on our rule following, on our ability or inability to be the kind of person that we think we should be. God's love, 1 John 3 says, the Father has lavished His love on us. God is generous with His love. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. God who is holy and just and righteous and powerful and all-knowing and all-present. That God says, you are my children. You are my sons. You are my daughters. You are the family of God that makes up the church, the body of Christ. You are my sons and daughters. So this is like a family reunion. When we come together, when we gather in this place, and we sing, and we hear God's word, and we pray, and we encourage one another, it is God's children having a family reunion every week. Now, I know some of you are like, a family reunion, you're trying to avoid it, you know. Like your biological family. But we have a spiritual family. That God, we are introduced into a spiritual family when we receive Jesus and we give our life to Him, that we're now part of a spiritual family. So look around the room. You have brothers and sisters in this room. Look around. Just look around. No, really, seriously, look around. This is your spiritual family. Now, you might see someone that you don't know, and I want you to, after the service, I want you to go up to that person and say, hey, we haven't had a chance to meet yet, but I'm Mitchell. What's your name? You know, we're always scared of that because, you know, the person might say, well, I've been going here for 10 years, you know, like, okay, well, that's great. Thank you. So we got to get over this thing about, oh, I don't want to embarrass myself. I know that person. I know they've been coming here forever. Just get over the embarrassment today. So that's my challenge to you. Go up to one person you don't know and say, hey, my name is so-and-so. Glad you're here. See, if God lavishes His love in this way, why would we restrict it and say, well, this person, you know, they're not worthy of love? Sometimes we try to bottle up and ration the love of God when God lavishly gives it, as if there's only a certain amount to be given out. God wants us to be generous with one another and generous about who we invite to become part of this family, because He has been generous with us. Some of us, we think back to our experience, maybe it was family or social environment, whatever it was, and we think, well, God could not possibly see me as one of His children. We think we've messed up with God. And so we just sort of like, well, you know, I guess I'll just live with the consequences. And God is still inviting us. He's still going, hey, you're still part of the family. You're my children. All of you are my children. I want to invite you back into that. God lavishly loves. So we've got to see God for who He is. We've got to see ourselves the way that God sees us. Pastor and author Tim Keller says this, God sees us as we are, loves us as we are, and accepts us as we are, but by His grace, He does not leave us as we are. That's a perfect description of the way God views us. We are fully accepted by the Father. God loves you and me just the way we are. What's that love song? Just the way you are. Da-na, da-na-na. Da-na, da-na-na. Thank you. That was great. Thank you. You're right. Thank you. Words of affirmations, my love language. Come on. Just keep them coming. Stop. No, keep them coming. Stop. God sees us as we are, loves us as we are, and accepts us as we are. See, I think the hurdle that many of us have to get over is that we see ourselves in the way that we think we should be. You with me on this? All the things that you don't like about yourself, that you're disappointed with yourself, that you're frustrated with yourself, that's how many of us see ourselves in the way that we think we should be. But God sees us as we are. God loves the person that we are, not the person that we think we should be. There's a big difference there. God loves the person that you are right now, not the person that I wish I could do this, or wish I didn't do that, or wish I could become this. God loves you right now, the present version of you, not the future version. You see the difference? God loves the present version. But he does not leave us as we are. Our men's small group, we meet on Friday mornings at 6:30 at Chick-fil-A, because that's, God blesses that chicken. It's God's chicken. Jesus' chicken. And we were having a conversation the other morning, and one of the guys said, it's like you're paddling in a river. And, you're either moving with the current or you're being swept away. You're drifting. We were talking about growth in our life with Jesus. And I thought it was a great analogy. It's like you got to be intentional. And that was the word. Intentionally paddling to move closer to Jesus. Because if we're not intentionally paddling, if we're not paddling, meaning if we're not in relationships with others and in the Word and in prayer and begging God to show up in our life, then we're going to be drifting. See, nobody drifts into spiritual maturity. But you can drift into spiritual immaturity. You can absolutely drift into spiritual immaturity. So I want you to think about this. Am I paddling? Am I intentionally moving closer to Jesus, or am I just kind of drifting? And if the answer is I'm just kind of drifting, then the second question is, what needs to happen in my life to be more intentional about paddling closer to Jesus? Do I need to get into a small group, get on a ministry team and serve, give of my resources that God has blessed me with? See, sometimes we say, well, God, you please give me this job. Please give me this opportunity. And once God does give us the opportunity and the job and blesses us with resources, we're like, all right, God, I got it from here. Thanks for the work. So how are we moving closer to Jesus? The third way I think we've got to start seeing is to see others as God sees them. To see others as God sees them. Now, Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and this church had some issues. They were like, who do we follow? This person, that person, idol worship, paganism. I mean, you thought we had some issues. The church in Corinth had some big time issues. Paul writes to them, and he's encouraging them. He says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. So when you look at another person, do you see them the way that God sees them? Think back to that verse we just looked at. God lavishes his love on us and calls us his children. We regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Do you see people the way that God sees them? Do you see people for their sin? Or do you see them in light of the Savior? Not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore, verse 20, we are therefore, because of all this, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So here's the deal. God looks at you and he sees you as his child. And last night, Mother's Day is an opportunity to honor the women in her life. Last night I had this thought. And last night we went to see the monster trucks. And it was interesting. But, you know, I looked over and I saw Megan taking a picture of Jude watching the monster trucks. And I was behind them and I saw her taking this picture and I had this thought, you know, that's what a mother's love is. It's sacrificial. You know, on Mother's Day weekend, I mean, unless she hasn't shared this with me, I don't think she's a huge fan of monster trucks, personally. We haven't talked about that. She hasn't expressed that desire to go see a monster trucks like on date night, or maybe we'll take a long weekend and just see a couple of monster truck shows and, you know. But a mother's love sees their child in the way that God sees them. Sacrificial. See, Paul says, you know, you're to be Christ's ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who goes before people, goes, you know, as a representative with a specific task. He says that task is reconciliation. To see others the way that God sees them. God sees them. See, Hagar gave that name to God. This is the God who sees me. There are many people that we encounter each and every day who don't feel noticed and don't feel seen. And Paul says, look, your mission as Christ followers is to be ambassadors, to bring reconciliation to people who don't feel seen. Who are the people in your life that don't feel seen? And what would happen if you began to see your life as being for the purpose of helping every single person feel seen and loved by God? That's worth giving your time to, friends. That's worth sacrificing for. That's worth giving your resources towards. That is worth sacrificing your life for, so that every single person feels noticed and loved. Not just in this room, but in this community, and ultimately in this region and in this world. 266,000 people live in Cherokee County. How many of those people right now feel like no one notices them? The outcasts. And not the nerdy Urkel, Napoleon Dynamite, me, I don't know what I was doing, posing in front of the truck. Did you see my belt, by the way? It was like the braided. This is like 2001, still rocking the braided belt. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, with the gold belt, yeah. Yeah, profile pic, new profile pic. 266,000 people that live in this county. Now, I know this is the Bible Belt, and there's lots of churches. There's a church on every corner. But if you, there's not enough churches for 266,000 people, I'll tell you that right now. That we could fill every single church in Cherokee County, And we wouldn't have enough churches for the people that live in this county, many of whom feel like no one notices them. That's our job. That's our mission. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Let's see ourselves the way God sees us. Let's see others the way that God sees them. That's our mission, friends. Let's be faithful to that. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would empower us, Lord. Empower us. Father, I feel burdened right now to just pray for... There are people in this room, Lord, that they're here because it's Mother's Day and they just thought they would just show up and go through the motions, but you have a word for them. Lord, I pray that you would speak that word to them right now through your Spirit. That they would begin to see you for who you are. They would begin to see themselves for how you see them, and they would begin to see others the way that you see them, Lord. That you would show up in their life, that they would know that this is not just a day they're coming to church to make their family happy, Lord. Speak a word to them right now. Holy Spirit, come into this place. Help us to see the way that you see. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you have enjoyed this message and pray God's blessing upon you. Remember to follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.